Welcome to the Engineering Influence Podcast presented by the American Council of Engineering Companies. This week is National Surveyors Week, which aims to educate the public about surveying. Much of the focus is in schools, talking about the profession and getting students excited about a career in surveying. With us today to talk about surveying is Joseph Romano, a principal at Langen Engineering and Environmental Services in the New York City area. Joe is also chair of ACEC's Coalition of Professional Surveyors. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Gar.
So the past year has been pretty difficult for everyone. How has the surveying business fared during the pandemic?
That's interesting, Jerry. The industry's done okay. I mean, there's not been a lot of slowdown. You know, COPS has representatives across the nation and members across the nation. We meet and talk once a month. And I would say that in the beginning, there were some issues, concerns about public work and funding. But if you talk to everybody, everybody has evolved their work to stay up to the pretty much the normal chargeability numbers and the amount of work that they've had. There's been some projects put on hold due to funding, but in our last call, many of the firms that do public work have a sense that those contracts will be released. Private development has not stopped. You've heard about a boom in residential. Some industry and some distribution has stayed strong. Most firms are either practice publicly or private, and some firms do a mixture of both. So I think it's really where you've targeted, but you know, all in all, I think we've done pretty well as a profession during the pandemic.
I would imagine one of the big challenges is that being a surveyor, you've got to be on site, so you've got to be out in the world. Was that a challenge for firms given the restrictions of the pandemic?
That was a challenge early on. You know, you're right. We are in the field. We're on job sites. Each firm came up with their own restrictions and protocols, and then each job site has their own safety and protocols along with the local and state government protocols. So keeping track of all that was often an issue. Not something that couldn't be overcome, but it was an issue. The hardest part about it was limitations on meeting in person. A lot of firms put a little slowdown or banned on meeting in person, which makes it difficult. Travel became an issue. Most survey departments use two-man crews. Some do one-man crew. Traveling together in the close proximity created an issue. So many firms put protocols in place where field crews had to travel in separate cars to a job site. A lot of firms also do interstate work, which creates a whole nother issue during the early days of the pandemic with travel bans from state to state and keeping track on them. And then quarantining and testing became an issue. But again, I don't think it was something that was too hard to overcome if you tracked it and put some effort into it. It's interesting. I think if you talk to the field guys, the hardest thing to overcome was working with a mask and talking on a walkie-talkie to each other or yelling across the field with a mask on became a little difficult.
I think we've all experienced that. So with National Surveyors Week, you know, the idea is to try to get young people interested in a career in surveying, and that's been a challenge for the engineering industry for a long time, getting new people into engineering, into the STEM. How is that situation with surveying?
Wow, that's interesting. You know, I've been at Langen 40 years and been surveying for like 35 of those years, and it's always been a challenge to find new blood into the industry. And you know, there's a couple reasons for that. Many states now require a degree program. And I can tell you, anybody who has high school kids probably never even heard of a surveying degree. Most people in those programs are people into surveying already who already have a job and are looking to be able to move to the next step, which is licensure. So the degree program has been beneficial in raising the statue of the profession, but it's also hindered a little bit of who can get into it. So I think the best thing that we all can do and that many of us do is education at a local high school level and a trade school level, and getting out and promote and be active in local societies and national societies, and making the survey more visible. That's one of the things we try to do at during National Survey Week. This year was a little tough, as was last year because of the pandemic, but you'll often see surveyors and survey firms donate time and go to a local grammar school or high school or Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts and show some of the cool technology. You know, one of the things we have at our fingertips is some of the coolest technology in our firms. And we're lucky enough to get to play with all those toys. And that can spark some interest. One other thing, some states are going forward with apprenticeship programs. Some are union-based, some are not union-based. And those apprenticeship programs should help get some new blood into the industry.
When you do go into the schools, obviously not this year, but in past years, what has been the reaction of the kids that they didn't even realize this was a potential career?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think most guidance counselors and guidance centers don't promote the service, the industry, just because of lack of knowledge. But yeah, a lot of kids are get intrigued with, again, with the technology, the sense of outdoors. You know, people think of the surveyor as just outdoors, but there's a really good mixture of outdoor work and indoor work. Some people are very into the woods and being outside, and there's a sense of independence for the field people. There's no one watching over your shoulders. There's a lot of things that are intriguing about the survey profession.
What drew you to survey?
Some of those things. Some of those, I liked the sense of being outside, being on my own. You know, when you're outside, you get a scope of services from the office or from the project manager. And when you're outside in your first start and you're at a very entry level position, you're really learning and being almost like the gopher, right? But you're out on a different site many times, different sites daily or weekly. That's one of my biggest things that I enjoyed about being in the field. It's not always the same thing day in and day out behind a desk. It's a different piece of property, a different environment. It could be urban, it could be rural. It could be in another state, another country. I liked that stuff was one of the things that really intrigued me. And the technology, when I started, the technology was just going digital. And the technology was very, very intriguing to me, as was the history. The history, you know, there's a lot of famous people that were surveyors early on in the country's history. So some of that and retracing their footsteps intrigued me.
Yeah, I guess George Washington started out as a surveyor.
Yeah, if you ask the question, how many surveyors are on Mount Rushmore? There's 3 out of 4, so it's pretty good.
Yeah. Right. I had no idea. Who would those three be?
I will leave that up for our audience to go look.
That's
very interesting. Let's see. It'll be a little quiz for them to go investigate.
And the winner gets a drone. So you mentioned that you've been at Langen for 40 years and that there's been a lot of cool technology. How has the technology of surveying changed since you started?
Wow, that's a really good question. When I started, we just had begun using digital data collectors and total stations, which basically removed field notes, right? Everybody used to write stuff down. People still write stuff in field books and take notes, but it went totally digital. I would think for the average person that doesn't realize it, GPS was one of the largest game changers in what we do. No one, when GPS was went from military grade to private grade, I don't think anybody envisioned that surveyors would figure out how to use it to measure very accurately, nor did everybody envision it would be in everybody's phone and cars. So GPS was a big, big game changer for the way we work. It allowed, as was the digital transformation, it allowed us to go from a 3-man or a 4-man crew to a 2 or 1-person crew, which impacted it did, it had a positive and a negative impact. Negative is staffing. There's another negative impact with any digital data is that it's harder to check, do QA, QC on, and a lot of people just believe, oh, it's in a computer, it's digital, so it must be right. But technology has certainly played a role in how we've built our department and all the other surveyors that I know.
Are you using drones and LIDAR and all that stuff as well?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Langen, as well as many other firms in the coalition, have a ton of experience in LIDAR. So we break LIDAR down into three elements. Static, which is a LIDAR system that stays in place and spins. Mobile, which you could put on a car or a vehicle or boat. Airborne, either in a drone or a plane. An interesting thing is I was really introduced to ACEC COPS through a scanning organization called the USIBD, and we signed an agreement with the coalition to share membership and information. But getting back to your question about LIDAR, that's certainly been a game changer in the industry. You know, drones come in all shapes and sizes, and again, it's one of those things that beware and do some research because they're not all created equal. We have drones that are good for photography. We have drones that are good for photography to reduce and produce topography and planimetrics. And then we have LIDAR-based drones, and they're all not the same. And we do a lot of education on that. One of the problems that the industry suffers from is there's a lot of misinformation on the market about these technologies and who can use them, who's trained to use them, and who can use them efficiently with the right end in mind is critical. So technology, again, that's another one that has a double-edged sword for our profession.
Sticking on the topic just for a moment longer though, looking ahead, do you what kind of technology do you envision moving into your field?
I think it's going to be about multi-use data. I think it's going to be the ability to acquire data that can be used by multiple people in a project and later on downstream. We've been talking about that for a long time. There's been some hardware and software acceptance issues, but I think the ability to go out and survey a building or use LIDAR to digitally capture, you've heard the word digital twin, to capture that information and add attribute data that other people in the building or the design process can use. That's going to be somewhat of a game changer for us. I do think LIDAR is a great tool. It produces a very heavy file. I think as photography advances, that'll start replacing some LIDAR or some other means of data capture that doesn't create as heavy or as massive as a file that a scanning system does. Mm-hmm. It'll be a big game changer for us.
And then looking ahead, what's your thoughts on surveying as a profession? Is it a growing profession? Is it something that someone in school today could look forward to a full career in?
Yeah, I think it offers a great career. You know, surveying breaks up into many different categories and many different types of surveying. There's subcategories that fall under surveying. There's people that just do boundary work, and there's people that just do topography, and there's people that do LIDAR and hydrographic, and there's people that do all types of surveying that you wouldn't think of. Interesting thing there is that with many of these schools having degrees in the upcoming ACEC summer meeting, the spring meeting, we're going to have a round table and we're going to bring in professors and deans from different universities across the country to have a conversation about the challenges and the rewards that they see in each of their programs, the successes and the challenges. And if anybody wants this to join in that round table, I think it's April 28th. It would be good to have questions from other people. But yeah, to answer your question, I think the career is, it could provide somebody a very stable career. The one thing again is technology. Technology can replace some of the things that you do, but it cannot replace the education and the institutional and the experience that you gain as a surveyor. Pushing a button is a lot. Pushing a button to get 2 and 2 is 4 is a lot different than understanding why 2 and 2 is 4. And I think as a profession, we need to hold on to those things and promote those things. And a little bit of self-advocacy is needed. And I think we'll be just fine.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Anytime, Jerry. I think it was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been talking with Joe Romano, who's a principal at Langan Engineering and Environmental Services in the New York City area. He's also chair of ACEC's Coalition of Professional Surveyors. And this has been the Engineering Influence Podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. Thanks for listening.